Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third podcast with your host, Zach Polk.
I like that too, but I do like, you know, animation titties. Oh, that everyone has someone in their life that deals with the shit that I deal with.
And featuring Tyler Southern.
You want me to rub your feet? You want me to get the bath running? Something? Can I help you relax?
Now turn that shit up.
Just a reminder, we are not medical professionals. This is for entertainment purposes only. If you're going through something and you need help, reach out to someone, reach out to a professional or someone in your own support network. That would be amazing. Today we've got our buddy, Carl Wachner. Some of you will be familiar with Carl's music, but we're going to find out some other shit about Carl today. Nobody does what this guy does on the stage as well as this guy does what this guy does. Mm-mm. But Carl, first question. Why are you still fucking here?
Dude, I don't know. I don't know, man. I've been my story, I guess, is more mental strength. I guess, you know, I've been in the music industry for a long time. I'm still an independent artist. Mm-hmm. And lately I've had a lot of friends in the game, like in the business, just drop out of it and just we're done. We've been trying to chase this thing for a while, and it's really heartbreaking when you see people who are extremely talented and they kind of throw their hands up. So mm-hmm. you know, yeah, pretty nuts. But I guess I'm lucky. I got some good grip strength. We've been hanging on to a pull up bar for a fucking long time, and I feel like there's a little bit of power in that, because when you see the fact that you're still here and you go, holy shit, I'm still here. How's that happening?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, well, I am still here, so let's get it, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's not easy. Yeah. It's not easy to have a sustained career in music in general, no matter what level you're playing on, whether you're doing covers, whether you're whatever. I would argue, I don't know if you'll agree with this, that part of the reason why you've lasted so long is that you don't have bandmates.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. Oh, well, I did used to play in bands, but yeah, that's definitely a big thing, especially nowadays. Like, you know, it's easier to save a dollar than to make an extra dollar on the road, you know, and with tracks and with you know, people basically just singing to tracks and stuff now. Like, there's less drummers and less musicians around, and it hurts because you also, it's kind of a unicorn when you see like a 12-piece band on stage, and it's real raw and organic, and you're like, holy shit, they got like a 4-piece horn section, and
they really vibe off each other the whole show.
Yeah, it's just, you just don't see that. Everything's rehearsed, choreographed to an inch of its life, and you know. And while it sounds like technically perfect, it's just like there's those little nuances that, like, I remember from albums and stuff. Some of my favorite albums, I'm like, oh, wait for this bit. Like, this is the bit that he drops the tambourine, or like that, you know, like
something went wrong, but it was great. Yeah. When in the Jackson 5, when Michael said, look over your shoulders, honey, instead of just shoulder, and they left it in there. And I was just like, hell yeah, that right? That don't make sense on paper, but it sounds perfect.
Yeah, that's cool.
Just look over your shoulders, honey.
There's bits. There's like a song in a John Mayer song that, like, right at the end. I'm trying to remember what the song it is, but like they're playing tambourine and John's like riffing on this thing, and like at the end of the song it kind of fades out and he's like, oh, that bit's cool. That's cool, right?
Sounds super
like,
rad.
Like, he's not really sure, but he's like, that's cool, right? Like, and they left that bit in there. Yeah, it's a human element.
I've never had the skill to be like an improv player. So if I jumped on stage with people and had no idea what they were doing, unless they could quickly show me, I'm not going to find it. Like, I don't understand theory enough for that type of thing. So it's always been impressive to me. But just in general, I still love going and seeing my favorite bands live, dude. But I want a fucking show. I don't want them just to play the song perfectly and stand there.
Like,
show me something. I could listen to the album for a hell of a lot cheaper. Like,
do you, like, because when you play, like, do you, if you do something that's beyond your ability level, mm-hmm. like, you know how when you're listening to a band and you're like, oh man, that was cool, or that was a cool moment, or whatever. If you do one of those moments and you don't realize, and you, like, it catches you off guard, are you like, holy shit, like, do you handle it and keep going, or do you like
I don't
do you
I
get caught up?
I don't take too many chances. I'm pretty calculated because I'm not much of a guitar player. So it's like what I find fascinating is kind of not answering your question at all, but I find it fascinating that without even really trying, just because of doing it for so fucking long, that you can kind of understand where shit's going if you have a chord. Like, even without the theory, you can kind of figure out where shit resolves, and it just starts to make a little bit of sense. And same with even, like, I can pick up a guitar when I'm playing frequently without a tuner and pluck the string and get it pretty close to where I need to start. It's like, if I'm in a fresh set of strings and I don't have a tuner and it's nowhere near where it needs to be, I tune my A string to a G, and I just, without even trying, I can pluck it and be like, that sounds about right. And then I hit the tuner and it's damn close. That's really weird to me.
That's like muscle memory. That's,
yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. Like, I mean, there's perfect pitch, and then there's, what's the word? Like, when you hear a song, you can find perfect pitch by going, I know that that's like an F, or that's a G, or whatever it is, and then people go like calculate from there. I wish I could remember that. I got a couple of friends with that. Relative pitch, that's the one.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Words.
I guess relative kind of comes in play a little bit. Let's say that, have you ever sat down just with a song that you've heard a million times and you just kind of start playing it? You might not be in the right key, but you can figure out the chord progression pretty damn simple just from your head.
That's Nashville rehearsal. That's literally what a Nashville rehearsal is. You Google the lyrics. I've done it 1,000 times. You Google the lyrics because you've heard the song on the radio, and you're like, it's in G, or it's in A, or whatever it is, and you just kind of play it. And the worst thing that happens out of that, it's not all that bad, but the worst thing that happens is you do it once, and then somebody asks, like, requests a song. Like, this happens downtown Nashville all the time for covers artists and stuff. And somebody will ask for it again, and you're like, oh yeah, that's right, I played this last week, like, I've still got the lyrics here, like, I screenshot them or whatever. And then you'll play it again, and then from that point on you're like, oh, I know this song now, like, that's in my repertoire. And so you just keep playing it, and then what happens is, like, in 2 years you've played it like thousands of times, and then you hear it on the radio you're like, and then it's complete, like there's like, oh, the chord progression's like, you've got it like backwards, but you've boiled this like version down over the time of you playing it, and you think it sounds right. And like that shit happens all the time with like Wonderwall or something. Yeah. Like, people play it way too fast and they miss all of these in between chords in the middle of it. They think it's just four, but there's reversals and all that.
There's quite a bit of movement in that song, really. I mean, with the chords. Because that was I remember I would kind of wing it. Somebody would ask for that, and I knew how it started, and I'd kind of wing it for a minute, and I'd get to a part where I was like, I don't know what the fuck it does here, but it definitely doesn't do the same shit anymore. And then I learned.
Yeah.
But even when you take the time to rehearse something and you play it for years without listening to it, you go back and listen to it, and it takes on its own, like, you just naturally sort of change it over time or something. I don't know. I've went back and listened to shit and been like, fuck, I play it nothing like it really goes.
Yeah. I think that's when you, like, personality comes through as a musician. You know, anybody who's like a get it done kind of guy or person, right, on the stage is like, oh, this is clunk, clunk.
Right.
You know, but anybody that kind of feels it or whatever. That's the technical term, Ty.
I separate musicians into two categories, the feelers and the counters. There's the guys that count everything, and it's all technical, and it's all mapped out in their head. Yeah. And the dudes that just go up and listen and feel it and whatever.
And both are that, awesome.
Yeah.
We call that clunk clunk in Australia. That's the term official.
But what happens is you get guys that should be in one side and they're in the other, and they don't work out well. Like Ryan, my roommate, is that way. He's tries to count, and he needs to just feel, because when he feels, like, we were playing a show and he was okay for the whole show. Then people started yelling out random songs that we never rehearsed. So then we'd start playing them and he was fucking great. And I'm like, because you weren't thinking, you were just playing. Right. You're counting and thinking, and you're not just up there fucking being about it, you know? But some guys are so perfectly technical too. Like the fucking prog bands and shit. Like there's a band I went and saw live when I got back here that was a bucket list band out of the UK called Tesseract. And they're a gent, you know, progressive metal band. And all the polyrhythms and weird time signatures and shit, I'd have to go to math college for like 12 years just to even come close to grasping what the fuck they're doing. But it sounds
cool. Yeah, that's crazy. People have different ways. It's the same as like being organized at home or like sports, for example. Like everybody's got that friend that's like, oh, how long you been? You know, everybody's got that buddy who like shows up and is like, what's this game? Yeah, let me try it. Blows everybody away. Yeah. Right. And then you got like that person that's like, oh, how long you been playing? Like, 27 years or whatever.
The whole time.
And it's like, yeah, since inception of golf or whatever. Right. Like, and they're like so calculated and they've got all the perfect clubs and they've like set their life up like with specific lessons and all this sort of thing. And it's really hard because then you get somebody who's got good eye hand coordination come out mm-hmm. and they just blitz it. And
I like when the rookie makes the vets look stupid. Like that's always fun, but yeah. That might just be in movies. I don't know. But
well, there's something to say for obviously for experience, you know, the 10,000 hour thing and you can not be a talented musician and find a way to put 10,000 hours into something where you'll be at least proficient, you know, but take a fairly equal level of talent. Obviously experience does mean a lot if the person's a thinking person and they learn from their experience, and this can apply to everything literally.
The 10,000 hour thing is relative to like where that person incepts into that thing. So like, let's say guitar, for example, right? Like you got the feelers and the clunkers or the counters or the whatever it is. Right. So, or there's the performers even, and performers are less like, you know, they're flashy, but they're flashy in kind of an easy way.
Right.
That's like, yeah, yeah. You know, they're like holding it like this or whatever. And the crowd's like, holy shit, that looks amazing. But meanwhile, they've just been playing a G chord the whole time.
Dude,
and
are you
the
really?
The sound guys like pulled it out the front of house. They're not even, you can't even hear the sound.
Are you coming, are you coming at me right now? Because I feel like this, I feel attacked.
I didn't say A. I said G, Zach. you're the A chord guy.
I'm the A chord guy. I don't know. Yeah. G. That's fucking weird.
It's just capo 2 in G.
So, capo around. So yeah.
I don't have a leg to stand on.
Oh, Jesus.
Hold on.
What are we like? I haven't got a watch on it. I don't know.
12 minutes.
What are we, like 5 minutes? Okay, yeah. All right.
No, I mean, I don't know shit about fuck when it comes to this. I know what sounds good. I don't know why it sounds good. Y'all know the mechanics of it all and the history of this song or that instrument or freaking how long you've been doing this since you were, you know, little kids for the most part. And fucking, I love music. I just... I'm a lost boy if it ever came to doing it. So
the good thing is you don't need to do it. Like there's a lot of people who shouldn't be doing it. And who's to say, like, who's to say who that is? And the good thing or the negative thing is like, you know, social media and stuff and like creative arts and direction, like anybody can do anything now. It's like, if you're either committed or have funding or have resources behind you, you can pretty much do anything. And like with that is it's saturated, you know?
Yeah. And they don't require any particular level of skill. Like you can be an attractive person that, you know, bought a beat off YouTube and wrote just rhymed over it and you put it out and somebody picks it up and somebody wants to do something with it and you never have to play a show and you can't even replicate what you did. I mean, my daughter was dating a guy somewhat similar to that. He blew up when he was like 16, 17 with this hip hop stuff. And I mean, he's got, you know, several songs with 7 or 8 million streams on Spotify. That's not, it's nothing to scoff at, you know? And, at that point, he had only been on stage one time in his fucking life. It's crazy. And as it started to fall off and he started to lose people, his answer for that was, I'm going to go do these few things to go viral so I can get back up there. It's like, no, why don't you just get in the fucking trenches with the rest of us and get good?
Yeah, but he hasn't. I feel for that guy in a sense because he hasn't. He doesn't know what it's like to come at it from that angle.
Right.
You know, like I can only feel for him because I've come at it from the exact opposite angle. Like I've been working at it for a long time, and there's been a couple of things go viral or whatever. But it's like I was talking to somebody about this the other day with music, more than anything, music, I guess, because I can relate to that. But like you got. If you think about the last three generations, right? Current generation is everything is social media, right? And there's nothing, there's pros and cons of every single one of these. Nobody wins, everybody's even, right? So currently, like you go viral, you blow up on any of the usually TikTok, but you know, any of the socials, and then you start dropping songs, you get record label interest, and then you kind of do it that way. Mm-hmm. Or two ago, like generations ago, it's like you work hard, you practice your instrument, you play a lot of shows, you put the time in, the 10,000 hours deal, you know, and then you get some interest, you develop a fan base, and then of the fan base and people coming to the shows, then you get label interest or you get backing, you know, and then you've got what I think is like the generation in the middle, which is kind of what I'm in. Like I've been playing music for 20 years, so I was playing a long time, like years before any social media happened. Like I remember creating a MySpace page. Like for, you know, for my band stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So dude, I totally would have unfriended you if I wasn't in your top nine.
OMG.
But yeah, like it's weird being like in a generation that came before, during, and then and now still in the current, because mm-hmm. the generation before me, like I feel like generalizing here, but like they look at social media like this thing that they gotta do because everybody's on it. And it's like, oh, we've got to post, we've got to tell people where we're playing. But they don't, they're not in it. They're not interested in it. They're just doing it to humor the idea.
And right. then using the it difference as a tool.
Is, yeah, exactly. But the difference is they've practiced and they've learned and they've spent the man hours, so to speak, on like perfecting their craft. And then they kind of flash it on social media. Whereas the flip side of it is like, we know how to go viral or we're going viral, but we haven't got the experience of being on stage like your daughter's boyfriend or whatever. Like he didn't know how to like be on the stage possibly and own it as that artist from the old school. So like, I'm kind of walking that fence line and I've just decided like recently, like, fuck it. I'm in it. Like if you're not going to accept that this is how it is now, then shut up. Like, shut the fuck up. Like if you're not going to like accept that this is the industry, this is how it's going to be. Like if you can not like it and you'll still get involved. But if you're not going to get involved and you don't like it, then shut the fuck up. Like just go and play gigs.
Yeah. I was going to say, like if they made a half court shot, a 6-point shot, and like, you'd have all these people bitching, but then you'd have all these people crushing 6-pointers all day. And I'm just like, you're bitching. We're winning. Like, so get with the program or get out of the sport. Like,
you can have people that practice the 6-pointer, six-pointer all day, and that's all they do. But they can't dribble, they can't pass, they can't like move or whatever. But they got a 6-pointer.
As long
pointer
as you get
down.
It to them while they're at half court, it's going in.
Yeah, maybe.
The thing that I think that performing musicians in our generation of people and the ones who actually are going to continue to perform. Dude, with all the changes in AI, you know, you can go have a song written for you essentially for free right now. I mean, I've messed with the tools that'll write the lyrics, it'll write the music, and it needs tweaking. But the point is that with deep fake and all these other things coming along, I feel like the live events in general, whether that's plays and acting, live shows, music, whatever it is going to get a big like a big pop sometime in the near future as we get more and more towards AI. Because everything you're going to get on the internet is going to seem like eventually it's going to be all like AI generated shit. And the only way you're going to get anything real is to go be there in person.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. It's like people can never take that away from anything. Like they can never take away the human element. It's way beyond music. It's beyond anything. Like we're sitting here like, triplet screen. I wish I was in the room with both of you guys. Like, you know, it'd just be super cool. But I mean, this is the best of both worlds because, you know, we're all in different locations
and we're having a
conversation. So technology is amazing, but it's also like, you know, I got
crippling in a way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I got to be really conscious of being around people, you know?
Yeah. And that was what, like you touched on earlier. I mean, the technology ends up crippling creativity in a lot of ways too. If you trust this thing to do all of, you know, give you your lyrics, then it literally eliminates the pockets for that real genius that ends up coming from the human element every time.
Yeah.
There's no way AI is going to fucking do a lot of the shit that ended up standing the test of time.
At least
from
until
Beale Street on through everything else.
At least until it can understand or have emotion somehow.
Well, and then it's just going
to
kill us.
It does, but even then, like, who's to say that our entire purpose wasn't to invent another life form that's capable of traveling much further in the cosmos to develop life around the whole fucking thing? Like, who's to say, dude? Like just because it might make us irrelevant.
We just took a hell of a left turn.
Is this where we talk about aliens?
I was saying this. We just took a hell of a left turn, everybody.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
no,
you can say that AI is gonna take your jobs, but if AI became a thinking living thing and it started writing songs that I could relate to, should I be mad about that?
Yeah.
Why?
Oh, never mind. Sorry, that's probably rhetorical.
I get. Well. Okay, so you got, I don't know, man. I think you got things on, you got something on both sides there. Like, for if I'm thinking about myself as a music creator and deliverer and then a music receiver, like, I love obviously listening to music just as much, not quite as much as I love performing, right? But let's say it's 50-50.
Yeah.
So how mad can you be if your favorite artist is 77011100001 whatever, right? Yeah, username 74 whatever, like, but they bring out dope shit. Yeah. Like, you know, but you also have to have the input, and you also, I would assume if it was AI, there would have to be credit in where they pulled their inspiration from.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So like, I mean, whether that's like 1% of like 100 different artists, or if that's like if somebody created the AI song, like, I feel like AI is still very much driven by humans, right? It's like, hey, AI, I want this. And then AI goes, here's like a rough thing, right? So it's like, you would almost have to credit, like, I want the groove of Usher and then the lyrics of Beyonce and then the voice of Chris Stapleton, right? So it's like, so you're like crediting, I don't know how that would work. But then as a deliverer of music, it's like, that's, people are going to, it's going to be flooded in the market. And then, like, how's that translate to live entertainment?
Yeah.
Like, how do you get people's names out?
My only pushback on that is I don't find it that much more reprehensible than Nashville writers, dude. Like songs that make it to pop radio, especially, and even pop country, and songs that both of us play, they were made in a lab, dude. They weren't made based off personal experience. It wasn't necessarily made from somebody who actually lived those things. They took algorithms in their own ways, simpler versions of it, and decided, this is the kind of chord progression everyone likes, this is the type of melody everyone likes, this is something people can relate to. It's just as built as AI would be.
That makes sense, but there's no personal touch. There's no, like, there's no sweat on it. Like, there's still a formula. You're right. Like, you know, that's like a back road, right? Talking about Nashville writers like Sam Hunt, but it like a back road, right? It was rewritten 13 times. Like, it's a simple song, simple lyrics when you think about it, but it was so finely tuned in a lot, like, mathematically, like what you say, right? But whereas, like, rewritten 13 times, like, I wonder how long that song was first, when it first started, to when it was like ready. and how many people it touched along the way, and how many people it was like riffed out, and like there's jobs and there's like creativity and there's like real human elements absorbed in that. Whereas like, let's say hypothetically that song could be created in the 10th of a second perfectly. Yeah. I'd still, though I don't know how I would feel.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing to consider going forward. I'm not really sure either. Like I've always, I always felt like even as far as the general public goes, like the music that they make popular to me is shit. Like no one's, but like the Tesseract and the bands that I like that are a little more complex, that are very authentic, just don't resonate with people like fucking typical made in a lab pop lyrics. That's what everyone wants to hear.
I don't know if that's what everybody wants. That's what everybody hears.
Has to hear.
That's what everybody gets blasted, whether you want to listen to it or not. Like, and I think a story is huge. Like somebody's story. Like, think about Oliver. Oh, what's his name? Anthony Oliver. Anthony. What's his name?
Oliver.
That guy. You know what I'm talking about? Like the his story is the thing that kind of blew it up. Like the song's great.
It is.
But it's the fact of who he is, where he came from, like his message, and the and who he is. For that message,
it lended a massive level of authenticity to the performance, and that's a huge thing too.
Yeah.
If you got some fuckhead in an all white suit looking all super fancy, and he's gonna sing about dirty, grimy dirt roads and growing up in the sticks, I'm like, I don't believe you.
I think
it can be as good as it wants to be. It can be formulaic, it can be off the cuff, it can be from the heart. But if there's not that authenticity, I'm like, yo, why are you singing about this?
I find a lot of popular music just lacks authenticity, man, especially outside of the rock realm. I mean, in the world of rock and metal, at least people are still mostly writing their own shit. You don't hear about a bunch of writers in those styles. But then they're also not, you know, like no one gives a shit when the Grammys come along who's getting the metal fucking Grammy. They gave it to Metallica's old ass again.
But hey, what about like when we were talking before about the imperfections of songs? Like they're the things like when you talk about rock, you know, rock and like bands, you know, bands kind of thing, and like raw acoustic stuff, like the B strings a little out of tune, whatever. Like if you take something that's so popular, like you just said, and I like there's a lot of people that agree, and I agree to a decent extent of like pop stuff is so polished, that it's I'm not that interested. You know, it's so like quick to come and quick to go. Whereas like anything that you can see that's had got some backbone, got some sweat equity in there. And like, you know, it's got those tiny little human elements of imperfections. Don't get me wrong. That can probably be generated by AI as well. Like there can be like, you can dial it back to like, I want it 70% perfect. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, dude, I'm
some bullshit.
Yeah.
I messed around with garage.
I want the bass player to be shitty. Yeah. I want the bass player to be a little bit shitty.
I need there to be a tear in the snare drum, and I need this chord on that guitar to be slightly out of tune.
That's right. You can like dial it in. I want the singer to be like
he went out drinking last night. Like,
but he's been like trying to come get clean, but he's like been 1 month sober, but then he went back again, but then he's like, you know, and then the drummer is like the leader of the band, and is shitting at everybody smoking. For not. Yeah, he's so fucking angry. Yeah, and then the tambourine player like never shows up.
Player is just a hot chick that can't actually keep a beat, but the singer wants to bang her, so he let her in the band.
She
gets paid more than the percussionist.
Of course.
Steve, the percussionist, Steve. Fuck Steve, man. He shouldn't even be in the band anymore. Like, he wasn't even invited. Like, he was just friends with Brian. And Brian fucking brought Steve in because he's like, oh, we need percussion. It's like, dude, we don't need percussion. We're a heavy metal band. Like, nobody needs congas. And why are they both tuned at the same key? Like they're different sized drums, man. Dude, what are we talking about?
That was a wildly layered with there was up and a down and a climax and a act one. There were characters. That was fantastic.
But they care about it.
I like
they
how your mind it. Works. I actually didn't realize that it extended beyond music. Because that I know that's how your brain works on stage.
But let's pretend
you just out a whole tale.
Let's pretend like you could input all that information and yep. literally say all those things. And it was able to do exactly what you said and put out a fucking hit song. I don't know that I find it that more offensive than some of the shit that comes out now. I don't know. It's hard for me to figure out. I think on some level, like the part that bothers me, and it's always bothered me with hip hop in general, because the beats are made on a computer, and I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying I could make a beat a hell of a lot shorter time than it takes me to learn fucking guitar, you know, like, yeah. And the same thing with the rap part. It's like anybody that can keep any rhythm whatsoever can speak over music. And yes, there's different talents of writers and so on and so forth. But I'm like, it just seems like so many people have moved closer to like, how can I be a part of this thing the easiest way possible without putting any fucking work in? I don't want to sit down and learn guitar. My fingers hurt. It sucks. It's not fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But then they're going to run into roadblocks as soon as they have to perform it. If they're going to perform it. And then there's that element of like, I don't know how to describe it, but like, you know, when you meet somebody for the first time or whatever, and you just get a vibe if you like them or not.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And there's nothing that you can even describe, like, or if you watch a you know, TV series or something, you're like, oh dude, you got to watch Rick and Morty. Like,
yeah.
And they're like, why? And you're like, well, I mean, it's about this guy. And then you start describing it, and then they're like, that doesn't make any sense. But you're like, you just have to be there. Like, you have to see it and you'll get it. Like, there's context of like something that's real, that's like there. You can see like, oh, the writers are also writers of this, and that's their type of humor. And you can trace these like elements back to like the inception of the show or whatever. And like, there's that, it keeps coming back to the human element. Like, I think even if you could input all the data that you want, like, the fact that the story or the fact that there's no actual skeleton there, you know, like there's no actual backbone, or there's no, like, you can't trace it back any further than the button that was pressed or whatever. Like, I think people would read into something. Like, they might listen to it and get into the song, but as soon as they realize there's zero depth beyond that,
yeah,
like, I wonder if it'll just fall off real quick, you know, and people will be looking at
the
human.
It's catchy.
You know?
I mean, there's songs that have stood up on test of time specifically on catchy.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I don't have enough confidence in people's ability to choose what's good or authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point.
The general public, I feel like if it sounds good and their friends are listening to it and it's on TikTok, they'll fucking go for it.
Yeah. There's also music's flying at you like a shitty Windows screensaver.
Yeah.
Like those stars. Music's just like hitting you now. And like TikTok? People are doing this.
Yeah.
No, mm-hmm. Just like, well, yeah, TikTok or like on the radio or whatever. And I think most of the time is like, instead of people like let's say music is like grapes and you got like 100 people throwing grapes at your mouth, right? That's what live music's like. That's what music's like right now. And everybody's just like, like, and that's it. You know,
three or four grapes every once in a while.
No. Yeah. Well, I mean, you get, but all those grapes are like just whatever the fucking hits your face. Like, that's music. Whereas like, if you're like, hey, like, I want those grapes over there, I'm going to go over there to get those grapes. Like, that's like you choosing the music that you listen to. Whereas like all everybody has to do is stand still and open their mouth and they get grapes.
What's so funny is when you look back at the way the music industry was in like, say, the 90s and before the internet, you had, you know, all of it was about money. And if you had money behind an act and they were going to go into the record or into the radio station and get them spun every fifth song and whoever was blowing whoever behind closed doors and bringing out drug plates and whatever was the fucking cool thing to do, And then now, so you get to now, and it's still the same shit. Where I was just hearing the other day, I was that record labels now, when their person hits 500,000 streams or whatever, 900 million or whatever number, that's when they'll go basically pump it up to try to make it look like it has even more. Like, they don't spend it on the guys coming up. They spend the money on the ones who are already successful to make them look even more successful in order to try to milk that for more. It's such a fake money built process. So all the,
I mean, it's the same across the board. They unnecessary sequels are the same. The shit they announced Frozen 4 and Frozen 3 hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah. I was just about to say, I don't remember Frozen 3. I don't know why I was so interested in like saying, dude, what did I miss?
Well, just because you knew the math was wrong. It wasn't specifically because you cared about the movie.
I saw sincere excitement in your eyes.
Maybe that's what I need to do, is announce my 10th hit album so that my third, fourth, fifth, sixth. So they announced Frozen 4?
Yeah, it's officially happening. It's a thing. They've announced that it's happening, and
what's the title of it?
The fourth Frozen fucking movie. I don't know, because shit. You think they're gonna even come up with the fucking title? Well, because the first, they barely wrote the first one.
Olaf goes evil.
Oh,
yeah, that's just gonna happen.
Your accent. I had all of in my head. Oh. It took me. So I was like, all of who goes what?
Yeah, no. Sorry. Oh, okay. What's gonna happen? Olaf goes evil.
Yes.
What's the dude's reindeer? What's the
Sven?
Sven's reindeer.
No, he's Kristoff, and Sven is the reindeer.
Oh, Sven's a reindeer.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, two lovable characters. Like, they get shitty because, like, everybody's married now or whatever, and like nobody spends time with them. So they're like, "Fuck you guys!" Like. I haven't thought of it. Look,
I haven't thought of it. Full transparency. Got half a damn story.
Full transparency. I haven't written Frozen 4.
Well, no. So that is already a better story than the first one anyway. So whatever. They wrote a bubblegum story around a song, and
that's it. Gotta let it go.
Yeah. They had Let It Go like a year before they even wrote the story.
Maybe they could call it Frozen 4, The Rise of the Incels.
That's we'll watch called. Moana 2, though.
Rise of the Incels.
Moana 2 is coming out later this year.
Man, my kids are, 19 and 15, so it's not like I missed a bunch of that shit. Like, I watched fucking Finding Nemo a million times, but I've never seen Frozen.
Good. Well, you're better for it. I mean, seriously, everyone will tell you, at least I don't agree. All due respect.
What do you know about shit, Ty?
I don't know shit about fuck, but my musician friends tell me that the soundtrack is spectacular, and I couldn't agree less, but whatever. I don't, again, I'm not read in. Y'all know music, I don't. But I know that it was as flimsy a story as The Little Mermaid, where she just sells her voice for dick.
Wow. I like how you hit the pipe after that statement.
Yes. Statement. That's a full stop pipe hit right there.
Dude, that's right.
Pipe drop.
Listen, I'm throwing down the gauntlet right now, dude. If Brian Weiss has listened to this podcast, and within a month, you don't have an SFH Hef jacket for the podcast in your fucking pipe, I'm done, dude. I'm retiring from the world. You need a fucking Hef jacket, dude. Like one of those
with the green piping.
Yeah, and pull it open, and it's got SFH in the lining, dude.
That or the piping can eventually do the EKG every once in a while.
It's going to be subtle.
You're going crazy.
If I'm going to already wear a smoking jacket in my hot ass house and sweat for you, it's going to be very ostentatious.
And we need the sleeves to match the limbs. It needs to be fucking rad, dude.
Oh, cuffed up.
Yeah, I would love to cuff me right here, but have the cuff over here. Yeah. So I've always dreamed of such a shirt or a jacket. I've always wanted that. I wanted a tailored suit.
If we need to do a fundraiser, I'll play. I'll perform. We're getting this fucking jacket, dude. It'd be funny if we did a fundraiser just for your half jacket.
I can't be that much. I mean, you only need like half the material of like most regular jackets. So like we could do like...
It took me a
second. He's good at math too. I don't know. And I know some people who can sew. So if we just got the shit, we could probably get it done pretty quickly, actually.
We could. I think between the three of us, we should be able to figure out this jacket.
2.5
Right. I feel like Kai's got a sweatshop over there because he was way too quick. Like, I know people that sew.
Fuck you twice.
No, I got a guy.
Like
got,
8-year-old guy knows coming up the street and he's like, sew like the wind.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
What do you got the thermostat set at? You said your house is hot?
So I run hot, and this actually happens to be the hottest room in the house, and there's fucking lights and stuff going too, and covering my ears.
How much of a difference that makes. Like,
I don't know what it is in Australian, but I have it set to 65 American.
That's like 17 and a half degrees.
It's chilly for most humans.
That's cold. Well, in winter, though, it doesn't feel like your body adjusts.
With the winter, I usually just set the heat really low so, like, it doesn't fight back.
Yeah.
And just the house will be chilly and my bill will be down.
That's a typical, like, it's, well, I don't know. I run like that. Like, in winter, it's fine to throw a, you know, sweater on. Like, be a little cool in your house. Like, I'm not making it perfect every time. And in summer, it's going to be a little hot.
Yeah.
Like, inside. It's just taking the edge off whatever's going on outside.
I can see. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, and you're from where it's hotter in Hades, too.
Yeah.
But I also, so with the injuries, I run hot for that reason, too. So the blood has less distance to go before it comes back and gets hot again.
Yeah.
I have less stuff to sweat out of to cool off. And then... Yep. Scar tissue doesn't breathe like skin does, and I'm just covered. It's like my legs are all scar. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, I just kind of
that makes sense.
I kind of stay hot. It's we got to stay hydrated. All us broke dudes got to stay hydrated, or we'll die.
When did you figure out that you were gonna be like hotter? Was it immediate? Like did it take you time to figure that out?
It was pretty much. It was because the hospital was never as cold as I wanted it to be. Which I didn't know that it was because of all that. I just figured I was wrapped up in all the bandages and whatever else, slash maybe losing your limbs makes you run hot for a little while. I don't fucking know. Oh, get it. While I'm petting a dog.
In the world.
Where legs no longer exist.
Tony needs 1 1/3 smoking jacket. And then the host talked about the temperature inside of their house for 20 straight minutes.
Fucking aliens. Well, dude, y'all went on about damn the math of music for a while, and I was trying. So, like, I was like, yo, I enjoy it, but I don't know how to do the equation, so I'm just going to sit here and pet my dog. Like,
I've been doing this for 30 years, and I still don't know how to do the equation, so...
Yeah, me neither. I think we were both talking about how neither of us know the equations, but wouldn't it be nice if one of us knew them?
Would you know?
It would be nice.
To be honest, when a musician comes up and starts talking super technical with me, I'm like, that's so gay, dude. Stop.
Here's what you should do. I started doing this the other day, and I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
Right? Whenever you hear something like... Like if somebody like knocks, like, I don't know if you can hear this, right?
Yeah.
So if that noise happens, right, if somebody accidentally bumps that, I just go C sharp, like just pick a note or whatever.
And hit him with the Charlie Puth.
Yeah. Like most people, like it's not C. I mean, actually might be C sharp. I don't know, but I don't know what note it is. But if you just hit it, most people almost exclusively will have no clue that you're wrong.
Yeah.
So it's like a power. It's a power move.
Dude, my dad used to pull that shit all the time, dog.
But did he know?
No, he played music for 47 years. He didn't actually know, but he would do the same shit.
He'd do it.
We were out eating fucking Mexican buffet of all things. He had this place he used to like to go, and we walk outside, and some guy drives by really fast and was yelling out his window, just screaming. And I go, "What the fuck was that?" And my dad goes, "I think that was an F." Like, he said that shit all the fucking time.
That's good.
That's something they teach you in the military. If you don't know the answer, say whatever you're going to say with confidence, and they might let you get away with it, kind of thing. Like,
yeah, it tracks.
Yeah, if you just run with it, most people are going to be like, "Oh yeah, sure, whatever." I have never the time nor the inclination to fucking look into that.
And then people are even afraid to approach you and say, "Oh, excuse me, I think you're wrong." Yep. Like nobody's going to. Most people aren't going to say that.
Well, dude, in the field we work in, when I used to work for the record label, I was doing Ozfest for the whole summer. And one of the days off, Korn was playing with Metallica at the Georgia football stadium at the Georgia Dome. And we were like, "Hey, we got a day off and we're here. Like, why don't you, you know, we work for the label that Korn's on. Why don't you get us some guest lists?" And they're like, "All right, we'll see what we can do." They get us two shitty tickets, which was still fine because we got to go. But I wanted to like go find Korn. So I just put my laminin on from my other show and walked around backstage at the fucking Georgia Dome like I knew what I was doing and I belonged there. And no one had a fucking word, dude. Never
That's
did
so good.
I got in a situation with the Secret Service trying to be confident one time.
What happened?
You
should have just left it there.
Oh no! Anyway, no,
like tell a story and just be like, "Anyway, so what are you doing?"
So there was a buddy of mine was a quadruple amputee, and a lot of folks like his family wasn't in the town, and his wife was a cock-juggling thunder cunt. And wasn't around anymore. So he kind of had nobody. So every day I'd go up there for an hour or so just to hang because everyone fucking ditched his ass, basically. But whenever the president or anyone up there comes, they lock down like a branch of the hospital so that no one in and out for security reasons. And they put up a damn curtain across the hallway, and a curly Q was standing in front of it. And I saw the split, and I'm going 6 miles an hour in a wheelchair, just like, "I'm going to blast through this curtain real quick and just go see my friend. I'm just going to pretend this dude's not here." He got in the fucking way. And I was living outpatient. I was living on base, but not in the hospital anymore. What's going on? I was like, I was going to end up going seeing John Peck. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Your name's not on this list. I'm like, "You're telling me that because my name's not on your list, I don't have a room back there." And I don't know, but you can't go through. Like, your name's not on this list. And I was like, "Fuck." I was like, "I will, like, I'm gonna make you carry me out of here, and I guarantee you I'll piss on your head." And then someone literally, like, someone I know came through and was like, "Dude, what the fuck are you doing?" I just kept pushing it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, this is probably gonna go south quickly."
Oh. That's funny.
But he never actually got my real name. I think I gave him something, Steve something or another. So even Stevenson. It would have been just some broke dude in this hospital. There were 98 Marines there when I was there, and there was like 100 some odd soldiers missing shit. So I was a needle in a needle stack.
Bunch of needles.
Yeah. You needed that one specific needle.
In a murder of needles. What's the plural of needles? Needle stack. Fucking
dude, when my son was real little, we had a friend named Neil.
Oh god.
And he called him Neil, and it was the funniest shit. One of the funniest things of my fucking life. When our buddy would call him, he'd go, "What is Needle coming over?
Needle? Come on, Needle."
Kids.
Brain fart.
Yeah, kids are wild. You could do a whole podcast on shit, crazy shit kids say.
My I got a 9 and a 10-year-old, and my son accidentally came up with like he floored me the other day with this joke that he made up on the spot. Hell, like almost all of them, as parents know, like they're just why'd the chicken cross the road? Because he didn't have because he forgot his lunchbox or something.
Yeah,
like It's just like, and then they laugh, and then you're like, what? That was the shittest. Anyways, he was like, he came up to my wife, like, we're in the kitchen, came up to my wife, and he's like, hey, mommy, knock, knock. And he goes, and she goes to answer, and he goes, oh, no, wait, you say knock, knock. And she said, knock, knock. And then he looks at her, and he goes, who's there? Like, she didn't know what to say. I was like, we're both in tears on the floor laughing. Like, that's the most perfect
just like,
delivery of, like, knock, knock. Like, go to say knock, knock to somebody. And so then go, oh, no, wait, no, wait, you say it. And then they say it. Then you say, who's there? And then it's, like, on them to, like, deliver the joke. It's like an anti-joke.
That's
so, like, oh, my God. That's funny.
Sounds like some McDonald shit.
Yeah.
I had I used one that a little kid told me. He was five. And it was the funniest thing in the world because his mom went ghost white. But he leaned in and said, you want to hear a dirty joke? And she heard him and was like, a white horse fell in the mud. And I was just like,
wow.
So I tell that one to children a lot and like watch their parents freak out for a second too. That's my pay it forward. I'll lean into a group of kids at Zoe's gymnastics or something because they can't stop staring at the broke dad.
And then you walk away and they're like, he's a genius.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm using it forever.
That's something about like seeing the fear in like somebody's eyes that you're about to say something crazy.
Yeah. I can't yell at this dude for whatever he's about to say, but I want to be mad about it still. But yeah, you want to hear a dirty joke? Just loud enough that the parents can hear it.
White horse fell in the mud. I was doing a radio interview. I was doing a radio interview. Okay, so anybody who's been paying attention knows I've got AirPods on underneath here. It's getting uncomfy. Yeah, yeah. I'm pulling these off.
That probably does suck.
I've leaked the information. There we go. Oh man, it's so much cooler in here now. It's crazy. I was on doing a radio interview and it was like around Christmas time and I've got like a holiday EP. So I wrote a song called Santa Selfie and there's a line in there that's like, all of my friends will be jealous as like, so, catch and release. He's like a sitting duck. Like I'm talking about taking a selfie with Santa. Yeah. So the second verse starts. And every time I sing this song, I'm like looking at everybody's reaction, like waiting for eyes to go wide. So we're live. We're actually live. One of the few live interviews on radio or whatever I'm singing. Catch and release is like a sitting duck. All of my friends will be as jealous as far as I know. You know, and you just like skip over it. Like the project, like everybody's like, it's just the best reaction. Oh, dude, my God.
Like Bob Saget had a song that he used to do like that was just so fucking brilliant. Where it was like, kind of use that misdirection. That's so brilliant. Yeah.
There's one on TikTok it pops up in my newsfeed every couple months or something, but the line is, we're gonna, it's a long fall in love. Oh. We're gonna fall. I can't do it good, but it's funny. He holds it hard, and you're like, and then oh wait, that's adorable actually.
Oh my God, I love it when it's the other way around. There's a comedian. Oh, I need to remember who his name is to credit him, but but he's talking about like his friend who doesn't have dairy, right? Can't handle dairy, and so he was getting coffee at his friend's house one day, and his friend comes over and he goes, did you like your coffee? And he said, yeah, it's fine. And he's like, because I made it on almond milk. And the guy was like, oh, like, you know, disappointed or whatever. Anyway, he's like, but then a couple of weeks later, like he came around my house for coffee. And I said, and I made him his coffee and I handed it to him and he drank it. And I'm like, did you like your coffee? And he said, yeah. And he goes, because I fucked your wife. I wish I could remember Dimitri. I think it's Dimitri. Anyway, I love it when it's like, yeah.
Quick pivot.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, somebody else is brilliant at that is, Anthony Jeselnik.
Oh, dude, yeah.
He's I don't know who that is.
That dude can write.
Interactive comedian. And he'll lead you in one direction. You think you're like, I know where this joke's going. And then he'll fucking hard write it and say something brilliant.
Yeah, and it's usually that dark. You need to check him out. and he stays stone face the whole time.
Oh,
like
dry. Okay, good.
It's good. Like he's a very he's like so cocky. Good at his job.
Acts like kind of cocky and
yeah, you know, like it's so good. Yeah, I gotta watch. Right,
I gotta check him out. I gotta check him out.
I'm gonna play. Anthony I'm gonna try to play it. This Bob Saget song I was talking about. It's 1 minute long, but we have not had great luck with adding video. Hey,
it worked the last time we tried it.
I yeah, I watch had to do what I'm doing now. So let's see if this works.
Go for it. Yeah, do you know Ren?
Carl? Ren?
Yeah, the singer.
He has a song called High Ren.
No, yeah.
There's a song called High Ren that it's him arguing with his demons and he's playing both parts. And we tried to get it to work 1 week and it didn't. And I promised Zach I wouldn't go look it up and I didn't. And we got it to work the next episode and I got to live react to it. But
Oh
my God. Dude, you'll love it.
Like, I low-key wish we could play that as well just because why not? But let's try the Bob Saget thing first.
Yeah,
it's not going to be great visual, but it's like 240p or some shit. It's an older video. All right.
And here it is. I didn't write it. It was this crazy tape, and I just loved it. It's an old English folk song, and I hope you like it. There was an old farmer who sat on a rock, stroking his whiskers and shaking his fist at his neighbors who sat on their ricks, teaching their children to play with their kite strings and marbles in old days of yore. Along came a lady who looked like a decent young lady and walked like a duck. Said she discovered a new way to bring up the children to sew and to knit. The boys in the stables were shoveling up contents of stables left after the hunt. The carman was stealing a nice piece of straw from the stables, cleaning the walls. In came the dairymaid to play with his dog in the dairy where she did belong. If you think this is dirty, well, you're fucking well wrong.
That's so good. Oh, man.
Yeah, dude.
I need to show my dad that. He's got one of those infectious laughs. Like when he laughs, everybody in the room knows he's the guy that's laughing and they're laughing in his laugh.
If he had a setup, I would fucking have him get on here right now just to show him that and then kick him off.
Oh my God. I want it so like Ty, you got a bunch of tats. Like I got my next I've got my arms, like sleeves and stuff, but I haven't got anything on my legs yet. I've always wanted to get like the next two tats are just like wave files, and it's going to be my mum, just like audio of my mum saying, I just wanted to hear your voice, because she says that every single time I talk to her and it's beautiful and I love her. And then the wave file of my dad laughing. Like I need to set him up, tell him a joke, and then like any joke, it's going to work. Yeah, so like that. But yeah, his voice, like, and that's that. Is down the line, like he would be in stitches, like for love days. That. Like,
dude, it's recalling. Funny you bring your dad up, because in the time we spent in Mexico, one of the most interesting things outside of music that I found out about you kind of came from him. Like, you're kind of a jack of all fucking trades. Like, you're better at most things than people who just do that thing. It amazed me. Like, whether you're getting into different parts of what we were doing, but even like you'll work on shit. And like build shit, make shit, and create shit, and it blows my mind. And you kind of explained to me a little that came from your father a bit.
Yeah, for sure. He dad's a builder. He's he was a truck driver forever ago, like before I was born. But he's been a builder for like 40 years. And it's you know, everybody's, well, people generally speak fondly of their parents and stuff. And I'm going to do the same, but like. Yeah. My dad came from a generation that, like, there's pride there, you know, like he's been in it for a long time. And like, he taught me a lot of that, and, you know, kids and me, I'm guilty of it all the time. Like, you know, you'll rush a job or you'll be like, oh, it's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
You know, when it really doesn't matter, it's fine. But when it actually matters, like, you dig in and you do it right. But there's been so many times I've been on a job site with him since I was like, actually, I was born on a job site. Like, I spent the first, well, in a hospital near the job site, but we lived in a caravan, like in a van. Like, that's what you guys call it, right?
Yeah.
Like, not a Dodge Grand Caravan, like a van, like, right. So for the first, like,
year and a half of my life, we were living in a van on a like house site. Dad was building a house and we were living there. So my whole life, like I was a kid in a nappy, a diaper, whatever you fucking Americans call
it. I knew what a nappy was.
You get it. All right. So, pretty much my whole life, my whole childhood upbringing and stuff, it was on like job sites and stuff. And I have fond memories, like really vivid memories of like specific things. He had this yellow air hose that I would just use his air gun and like do everything with it.
Blow dirt.
Blow silly dirt. It was the best. Then there was two other things that I did. He had these like plywood toolboxes in the back of his truck. I've tried to do it. He's tried to do it. I've done this, right? I took a box of aluminum pop rivets, right? And I hammered them through half inch ply, the whole box of them. So, and then I took his drills and I undid all of the like Phillips head screws. So like from the lid. And so when he came out, like he was like looking for me on the job site. I was 2 or 2.5 or something. And he came out and found me up in the back of his truck. And he's like, "What are you doing?" And then he saw what I was doing. And like I had all of the pop rivets, like not pilot hold or anything, like just, I just must've been like tap, 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 tap forever. And it's gone through. And then he went to like try to pull it out and he like lifted the lid and the lid kind of fell apart because I'd like unscrewed all the screws. It's like, get the fuck out of here. So that was when he started like getting me to do stuff on the jobs. And then the second thing that I have a vivid memory. Yeah. So like in a kitchen, right? This is my little studio kitchen down here, my little office space. He would have like built-in cupboards. So you'd have drywall and whatever, or a gyprock for anybody in Australia listening. That's what we call it. He'd put me up, like I was 2. He'd put me up in the kitchen cabinets where there was all drywall and stuff. And there would just be little X's, little crosses where I had to nail. And he just put me up there and then I'd like be like, nail all the nails. And I'd be like, ready. And then he'd come and pull me out of this one and put me into the next one. Wow. And then like, I just hammer all the nails in. But yeah, so my whole life, like I was doing all of that stuff. And more than anything, he taught me like real life, like physical problem solving. And that is like the most valuable tool I think I've got in my arsenal of like when I'm creating something or fixing, troubleshooting, audio, anything. It's like, what do I need to do? I need to hold this computer mouse up off the table. It's like somebody would buy a special mouse that's like you can scroll in the air or whatever. I'm like, I got a mouse. Like, I just need to lift it up. Like, I don't know why you would need to do that. But my point is like, I would just find a way of like building something so that I could, complete the task.
Yeah.
And whereas other people would be like, oh, I need to get a special mouse for that or whatever. So I credit my dad very much to all of that.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing when we were hanging out. I was like, man, that's badass. I think my grandpa was that way, but my dad was just a soft hand musician. So he never did anything. I mean, not going to say he never did anything. He served in Vietnam and did a few things, but just played music, man.
What did he play? What was his main instrument?
He was mostly a vocalist, but he also played guitar. So like the last, 20 years, a lot of it, he just played solo.
He'd
always wear Hawaiian shirts, big white beard, white little flat top thing, big belly. Fucking dude would he would roll in with his Hawaiian shirt. He would sit on a stool, use a headset mic, fucking had everything tracked. Like he had this whole setup, dude. His lyrics were all in a little flip book. Like it's so cringy, but it's like adorable, you know. He's just playing.
Do you think you're gonna go like white like your dad?
Yeah,
that could be cool.
I'm getting white in the beard, but I have red beard and blonde hair is my natural color.
Really?
I've been dying it black for like 20 years, so nobody knows that.
You should wait until you see all the roots white, and then just like in the space of like 2 days, just go from like
just not going public for a couple months while the roots grow out.
Just what like up? Pull the Band-Aid off, like just like, out, like white. Just go, I'm in. Yeah.
No, I liked eyeliner with blue eyes. So I started wearing eyeliner and it looked weird with blonde hair. It just looked washed out. And I was like, I think I'm going to try black. And I'm like, actually, I really like it. And just never stopped dyeing it black. It's my fucking whoopee. It's my comfort.
If you came like in it. With a whole different head of hair, I'd be like, you're not really Zach.
It's a little strange.
Tell me something only Zach would know.
He'd probably coming in all smiley and shit too. Like his entire demeanor would be like totally
everybody,
different.
Everybody, I'm Jack.
Hey.
Hey guys. How you guys doing?
Hey, do you guys want to go hang out down? Want to go by the water?
I wasn't ready for that. Come in all Ted Lasso and just positive.
Oh
yeah,
yeah. That
y'all need to check that out if you haven't. For the whole, if you need a dose of positivity and or optimism in your life, Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I need to watch that. I've earmarked that for sure.
It's like, amazing.
Yeah. Is it really? I keep hearing about it, but I don't. Again, I don't generally trust the public's. Like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes they nail it. Sometimes they nail it. There's a lot of times where I'm like, you're getting hyped about it. I'm going to watch it and be like, eh.
I mean, you tried Blue Eye Samurai, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. I didn't get all the way in. Me and my son started.
I would say, I vote, get an episode or two of Ted Lasso in. It ends on purpose as well. I like that shit. When it doesn't get canceled and leave you hanging, it ties everything that you want tied up in a nice little bow. Like, so, like, and again, just. God, every character has a dynamic you want to know more about somehow, like all of them. And I've never given a flying fornication about soccer and or football. But I'm cheering for AFC Richmond like the whole time that show's going. I'm so excited. That shit was, I went in with high expectations and was blown away.
I need to watch it. I saw that Dart skit that he was doing.
Yeah, yeah,
like that's the one that's right. Yeah, that's the last one that I saw, and I'm like, I gotta watch this. Like I've earmarked it.
The dude he schools in darts is a whole pile of dicks. It means more. That victory means way more when you know how much of a fucking asshole that old dude is.
You know what's crazy? So that's something that like the older I get, the more that you really realize how important yin and yang is. Mm-hmm. Like you, like, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Like it's so like highs are highs, lows are lows. Like if you keep everything too close to that middle threshold, then you're boring as fuck or you just don't. I don't know if I want to hear your opinion on stuff because it's like you haven't really experienced much.
You don't know shit like, about shit.
Yeah.
So on that, so one of the things that hung me up on watching it in the first place was I was like, as someone who people describe as wildly positive and optimistic, I was thinking like, there's no way like this dude's going to be like a goofy character. He's going to be like a Mr. Bean. Like one dimensional goofball, just only happy for no fucking reason. But it is again so fucking well written, and there's so much behind his positivity, and the fight to keep it there is real. And it's just they couldn't have written any better as far as I'm concerned.
That's no, weird. I've said even with our podcast that if I turned on a podcast that had two of you with all your fucking positivity, I would not relate. I need my dark ass to be on the podcast so I can go, oh, that guy knows what it's like to feel like shit every day. You know what I mean? Like, that's who I want to hear from. But I also love that you kind of like keep it in check. It's good balance. It's that yin and yang.
I'll say, I feel like shit most days. I just don't let it become my day.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You fucking murder that.
It was just like someone asked me if I had PTSD, and I don't know why, but out of nowhere, I just said, I have the definition, but I don't exactly suffer from it. And they were like, oh, And I was like, oh shit, was that prophetic? My bad. I didn't.
That's pretty awesome.
But yeah. I don't. I mean, I technically have it, but I know what causes anything that's going to make my day worse. So I know how to help alleviate those things from happening. And I also know what to do if they do happen. Because one, I've been there a few times and I'm like, panic attacks are zero fun, sir. So like, yeah, like figure out how to not get it all the way to a panic attack or how the fuck to help reverse it when you start having one. Like if you recognize it, get the fuck away from the, like there's steps now because yeah. I've made a roadmap.
There has to be like, you could probably shed some light on this. Like I'm a big, like I can't relate with anything you're going through on any of that level. Right. Obviously. But like, but in terms of like positivity and people having a shit day or having a good day or whatever, comes like you can have a shit day and it's how you project that on the people around you that makes all the difference. Like even coming, like diluting the thing that I can relate to down yeah. is like, I did a lot of like, I mean, I'm talking diluted. Dude.
Right. This is not a competition.
Yeah, no. Okay. So it's like I used to work in hospitality, right? And so one of the biggest things was, you know, when you have a big staff and you're working in a bar and whatever, and people are doing like 16-hour shifts and like crazy shit. Like if anything that's happened during that day, like you can have a shitty day, that's fine. And yeah. you can, if somebody asks you how your day was, you can be real with people and stuff. But if you like bring the vibe, like you can be upset and you can be like dealing with shit and stuff and you can really like drag everything down or you can find a way to not project that out. It's one thing to say, another thing to do, I guess, but it's a massive difference. Like when people can see you're going through something, but you're not letting it affect you. That is so impactful. Like talking about yin and yang, like, you know, if you're happy, and it's like, hey, what's going on? Like it's surface level happy. But if you're like dealing with shit and you're not letting that ruin your day,
yeah.
like that is like, that's like crack to like people around you, you know, like to like, dude, you know, Steve's dealing with some shit, like, but he's still here. Like let's you know, bring it up for him or let's whatever, you know, like I feel like that is one of the most infectious things that can happen is like you can either go one way or you can go the other way. And when you choose, when you have the option to choose and you choose that one, people notice.
That's what I'm going to say. Happiness is a choice. It all is.
I don't know if that's entirely true, but I think portraying happiness is kind of a choice. I don't see that happiness itself is a choice.
No, so you can't say depression's a choice because it's a chemical imbalance. But choosing to figure out how to deal with it and make yourself happy in spite of all of these things is a lot of work, obviously, but it's still a choice to do that work and get to a point where those negatives are no longer anchors holding you, mooring you to the dock, or rather than, you know, just being cargo you're carrying across the sea.
No, it's true. It's true. But when you're knowing from personal experience, when you're in the headspace that I've lived in for the last while, it's hard to even take the first step out of the gate and get out of bed.
I get that.
It's like, it's not like I can sit around and decide that I'm just not going to be unhappy. It's some bad shit in my brain. And, you know, but going back to what Carl was getting at too.
Yeah. Sorry.
I wouldn't think that most people that have met me at shows and things think that I'm as depressed as I am at any given time. Like I didn't know that
for a while, actually.
Yeah, I don't come to the show and like I still want to be the life of the party. I still want to make people laugh. I still want to be fun to be around. But I think my problem and where I run into problems with that is I also am just brutally honest. So when people pry, like they're like, "Hey man, how you doing? You look like you're doing great." I'm like, "Fucking terrible, dude." But I'm all right. I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, which. I could just give them the comfortable thing, but I think that even does me a disservice because I want them to see that I'm still there fucking being all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's trying to making the effort to attempt to be all right. It's his own thing.
When really I didn't want to even fucking step out of my bed.
Well, I mean, that literally brings up two points we've talked about in the past with Ryan. on it's not baby steps, it's steps. Like yeah. every journey is made up. A 1,000-step journey is made up of 1,000 single steps. They're not baby steps. They're literally the steps you're taking. Don't minimize the effort that you're making to get to your goal. And then we were talking about putting on a show. Sometimes you have to be an act. You have to, you know, so if I'm having a shitty day, but I got to go here where these people know me and know that I'm a ray of sunshine when I roll in. I need to put it on. Like, even if I'm having a rough ass day, I'm gonna roll in and be like, what's up? Hey, yeah, how's it going? Yeah. And I don't think that's a lie. That just ends up me being consistent and giving a fuck about the effect I'm having on their day.
Yeah, Rob said it pretty well yesterday when he said, especially when it comes to like what we do, you know, with being performers, like there's a little part of at least showing up and doing what they love you for that you owe them. Like they're your people. They're why you're here and they're why you get to go up and do the things that you do. So like I always tried to like give it 100% every show, even when I didn't feel like it, even when I didn't want to be there. So something to say.
Yeah, that's a really good, I think that's a really good attitude. I do that on the days that, you know, I feel like it feels like a chore. It feels like a job. Yeah. Like I gig a lot. And you know, I wish I could say that every single gig I was pumped for, but you know, most of them in reality are, but there's a few that I'm like, I don't feel it today. I don't, whatever, but there's realistically two ways you could go into that. And that's, you can project that out on stage or you can, you know, put your game face on and 9 times out of 10 or even 10 times out of 10, like, you know, what you're saying, Ty, like, you're acting or whatever. Like if you get, it might start out the first 2 minutes of that might be semi fake or whatever.
But acting, yeah, and with, but with it your becomes, doing, yeah.
Yeah. It becomes you alleviate yourself of that. Like just in the process of smiling and being like chipper and whatever, yeah. People see that reaction and they feed into it.
But once you get the juices flowing, once the crowd's cooking, that's y'all's life's blood. I know. Yes, totally. That makes perfect sense.
You can turn stuff around.
Is when you, that's my equivalent to that is, yeah, when I brighten someone's day or get them giggling about something when they were doing some mundane ass job 10 minutes ago, I leave thinking like, all right, like maybe they'll go into lunch with a better attitude or something. You know, like I'm excited that I hopefully left a bright spot on their day. And I, you know, I hate hell. We talked about it with Lance. Fucking, I chewed out the parking lot attendant after Mexico at the airport, and I was so fucking embarrassed. It was just like three big things happened all right in a row, and the last one was something that was supposed to be free was going to cost me $280. So I blamed this woman whose job it was just to tell me that. Like she doesn't make any of these rules. And when we left, I about cried. I just made a complete ass out of myself in front of two of my best friends. Like I apologized like four times on the drive home. I was like, guys, I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry that I did that. But like that will leave a stink on me that'll last a week. But fucking when you brighten someone's day, it's better on the, even better on the return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my
opinion. Also say you could like if I put myself into the position of your buddies that were there too, you know, I mean, I might have been like a bit, you know, when you were doing that, but you know, the fact that you like realistically considering what you went through, right? Everybody's entitled to get frustrated and be like shitty at something. Like that's being a human being. But like the fact that you realize that and you're like, oh, okay, you had time to reflect and you reflected and calmed down, like. Pretty quick, and you're able to do that, and then realize that you might have, you know, if you were probably a negative on the situation or whatever, and then just said, "Hey guys, I'm so sorry." The fact that you apologize so many times, like, means like that's more to your credit. Like, means that you're like, "Hey guys, I really like you really were sorry. Like, you really were embarrassed. You really were, you know." And it's like. But was, I mean, but that's, I caught my that's breath amazing. And
was like, I just said that out loud.
Is part of that just the fear that we're going to become that fucking person that we all know who's constantly just berating people and can't wait till they fuck up their food at the fast food restaurant so they can go bitch out someone making $8. You know what I mean? Just, there are lots of those people.
No, and I like shitting on expectations is part of it. But yes, people know that negativity is infectious, but so is positivity. Like, so again, if you choose to handle situations as positively as you can, like, you'll end up again getting that in return from either the feeling of it or the universe. But
as a person who's lived in a lot of negative space, it kind of, the only thing that I don't like about that statement is then it's set to make me feel guilty if I feel like shit and I have to do something in public and I just can't, because I have that, you know, times where I can't be the jokester and I'm just quiet or whatever.
Yeah.
Where it's like I think as people, we have a responsibility to the other people who aren't in the positive mode to not just shut them out because it brings you down a little bit. Like, try to bring them up and bring them into your world instead of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you're saying you feel guilty if you don't put on your show and then you're thinking, who didn't smile because I was being an asshole today?
Right. And then
basically,
and you can feel in that situation, you feel like people kind of shun you because you're not fitting their mood or whatever it is. And that's another hard thing to deal with, to drive home by yourself with those thoughts. So it's I'm just saying from the perspective of me being in the happy group and seeing someone not, like, that's a tough situation because you don't want to lose your happy, but you also, like, with friends, with people, I've just always felt the responsibility to try to, like, bring them up a little bit, or, like, at least make them feel okay. If nothing else, like, hey, look, it's okay if you don't feel good. You don't have to say shit. You don't have to joke. Just hang out. You know what I'm saying?
I'll sit here quiet with you. Just.
Yeah.
That's just being a good human being, I think, man. That's like, that's the most genuine, like, honest, hard on your sleeve reaction that I think everybody should have. Like, everybody should have that desire to, like, I want to make your afternoon better.
Yeah.
Right. But also, like, I feel like nobody should feel like they have to do that. It should be a choice. Like, everybody should be able to take one for the team. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like you're taking one, like, on most of the days you're able to do that. Like, most of the days you're able to go
carry the weight,
you know? Yeah. Like, let's go. Like, even you're able to compartmentalize if you're having a shitty day, you're able to, like, separate that, which is saying something, because there's a lot of people who can't do that, you know? So it's saying something that you can compartmentalize that, put your own stuff aside, you know, and then just make your surroundings better and make people feel better about you, more comfortable around you and stuff. But also there's some times that you just, at the very least, you're not going to be a downer.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Might not be the guy that lifts everybody up, but like, there has to be other people. Like, if you're in a group that you're the only fucking person doing that, you need to get a different group. Like, there has to be, got to be able to have a day off, man. Like that, you know, if you're not the guy, somebody else has got to acknowledge, you know, Zach's having a flat day. Like, he's just, you know, he's feeling it or whatever. And it's like, that's good. Like, now that's my job. Like, I want to make you feel like at the very least, I don't want to be that asshole that's like, let me make you feel happy now. Like, because it's like, sometimes people don't want to feel happy. Sometimes they
what do you need and what can I do?
And like, I'm here, I'm fine. Just don't expect this from me. Like, I'm just going to be here, you know, and it's fine. Like, but just, I need somebody to, like, you know, lift up the group and just acknowledge that I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, give me a nod. And it's like, yeah, we're good, man. You know, like,
somebody else take the reins for a second.
Yeah. I feel like that's a lot to wait.
I think that's some of the reason why people in this headspace, and I know at times where you don't attend something that probably would be good for you to attend, you know, socially, obviously those are important things that get neglected when you're in this, in the darkness. But I think I know with my experience, like, I'll go out with people and they're being themselves and I'm off. Typically I just get quiet and I people watch, and I always get the, what's wrong? Nothing. I'm cool. I'm just chilling. But that never ends. Like, it's like they don't want you. I think you're hitting it on the head. Like, if you can acknowledge that and just say, he's cool, just let him hang out and whatever, I would feel 10,000 times better.
You're getting a little robotic.
I am.
Yep.
Did
it sound like that on your end, Carl?
Well, yeah, I'm getting it's, connection thing.
Yeah, I could hear everything or understand everything you were saying, but it was getting a little tronny.
The screen's pixelated on yours.
Yeah, it's fine because since it's all recorded local, only we're noticing it. They won't see it.
Okay, cool. Sorry, edit this out. My bad.
Oh, you're good.
I just want to make sure you knew in case it was something you could fix real quick, kind of thing, or if they were going to hear it.
I was a little afraid I triggered one of the buttons by accident because this board is faulty, and I actually finally worked something out with them. I'm going to send it off this week.
Sweet.
They were like, hey, send me the board and we'll look at it and we'll fix whatever's wrong with it and send it back to you. And I'm like, look, dude, I have a tighter schedule than that. I can't be without it that long. Is there anything else you can do? He's like, we don't typically, I kind of propped this up like we were something cool. I was going on the boat too. I'm like, well, I'll be on the rock boat next week playing. And they're like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to like get some love. And he goes, he's like, well, if you ship it to us and you give us proof that you shipped it, we'll ship yours immediately. We'll ship you a new one.
Yeah, cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I love hearing that when a company kind of sticks its neck out a little bit or goes the extra mile like they don't have to.
I actually told them when I sent something back that I would say something about it. So here's me saying something about it. The company is Rode. You're familiar with Rode. We talked about Rode earlier. They're
an Australian brand.
Are they?
Is it an Australian brand?
Australian brand, yeah.
So hell yeah.
I love that. Well, whatever.
I got heaps of Rode stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
They make good shit, man. And they were kind of, to me, they kind of came out of nowhere. So until I started getting into the podcast stuff and I realized how much Rode shit is being used for this type of stuff, they're like, I mean, obviously these Shure mics are kind of the industry standard, but as far as in the background for what I do, I couldn't think of a way to make this more perfect. What a fucking great product. So yeah, the fact that they back it up and they have good customer service, you know, they deserve to be noticed and spent money on.
Yeah.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
That's what I'm talking about. Oi, oi, oi.
I was going to say.
Is that what you're looking for?
Something real specific.
Oi, oi, oi.
Is it because I'm not Australian? I'm sorry. I didn't. Is that a thing?
No, that's how it works. It's just the problem is it needs to be a crowd.
Okay.
Not one person saying it to another person.
I want
to
know the rules. I don't want to be an idiot. Like, that's right now.
Now like, you know. Don't ever let it happen again.
Noted, sir.
He's got a much bigger knife.
That's not a knife. Dude, so when I first moved to the States, I don't know if you guys, if y'all do this, but we make fun of our own accent. Like, Australians make fun of our own accent. Like, we call it bogan. Like, and bogan's like, not really redneck, but like a bogan would be somebody who drinks like can beer and like jacks their truck or like fishes and like does things.
But like a fuckboy redneck.
Yeah, kind of like a like people will self-confess that they're bogan, but it's like, anyway, you get what I'm talking about. But like so that they've got like a real like ochre Australia, like, hey, how you going? Like real like
the real stereotypical. So,
like
one
my
from
brother
the movie.
Is a bogan, right? My brother's a bogan. Like, I love him a bit. Trent. TW, I love him.
Dude, we gotta get him on the podcast.
Dude, he's a dude. He's a character.
Tell all the stories, man.
Oh man, there's too many. So, but Australians will make fun of their own accent. So for the longest time, like when I'd be meeting friends, okay, mate, how you bloody going? Like I'd be, you know, you just put it on and you wouldn't even think about it. But that was just how I would speak to people. At the start of a conversation, then I just go to normal, but we'd like laugh or whatever. Like, and then like when I first came to the States, that was just how how you going? Like, and say like all this stuff. And then I had to like change the way that I start speaking because, like, you don't know that I'm, like, poking fun at my accent. Yeah. Like, you just think that that's how I sound.
Well, to me, it would end up sounding like you might be faking altogether, and it's just gradually fading off. Like, if we talk longer, you're just going to start sounding like a dude from California.
Yeah, you're gonna, like, pretending to be an Australian or something.
Yeah, or it just, like, falls all the way off.
I have to say my name wrong when I'm introducing myself. Like, they're like, hey, what's your name? And I'm like, oh, I'm Carl.
Yeah, Carl.
Like, Carl. Like, I got to say it. Like, if Carl. I go Carl, they go, oh, hi, Kyle.
Or
C-A-L, right. Yeah, I have to say it like Walking Dead. Like, I have to think Walking Dead, Carl. Like, Carl. I have to lean into it. Like, give it, you know, like, slap your grandma, like, just, like, what's, you know.
What's your name?
Carl.
Carl. Like, I need to come up at him. Like,
why are you being so aggressive? Okay. I just wanted to know your name.
Carl.
Fucking Carl.
Swear name tag.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you remember my son had the perfect explanation. He said that if I wanted to speak Australian, I just need to add a British accent to a redneck. And he goes, that's Australian. I'm like, that's kind of profound, dog. I've never heard that.
Getting deep.
Yeah. You just got to do it in the right order, I guess. Otherwise, you sound South African or something. I don't know.
Yeah, any of the opposite. Anything that ends in an O sound, just add a U-R.
No, dog, for real. Yeah. In like a month or something, you need to figure out how to, or whenever you're wherever he is, we'll figure out if you can do two mics and get you both in the camera, and we'll just do a whole other episode with you and your brother. Would he do it?
Yeah, he would.
Let's fucking do that, dude.
He'd totally do that.
Just you tell me when you're ready. I don't care if it's two episodes away or 10. Like, whenever
You know what? We could actually, I'll talk, his 30th birthday is coming up, and I'm going to be at it, like, in a few weeks in Australia.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
could
dude.
Could be cool.
Yeah, see, as long as you could accommodate it, like, mics, and, I mean, if he was sitting next to you and you were using the same mic, it'd probably be fine. But obviously, if you could set up two mics that would actually work, that'd be sweet.
We could try it. We would just have to, I mean, I'm sure we could figure out logistics.
Yeah.
But we should be able to do that.
Dude, that'd be so sick. I'm excited if he's like fucking the redneck of Australia.
I want to talk to a Logan.
He's a hunter, a fisherman, an electrician, just had a baby. He's the guy. This is the guy. Let me give you the 20-second thing, right?
Come on.
Let's say you get, you know, like, a, this is a true story. Right. You know, ferries, like, you get on a ferry or a barge kind of thing. And you go across to a thing. Right. So he would get on that barge. Right. It's like, oh, we're going camping across to that island. You get on the barge. And then on the way, on his return journey, he's driving the barge back. And it's like, what do you mean you're driving the barge? And he's like, yeah, Glenn, let me drive it.
Buddy Glenn.
And it's like, who's Glenn? And he's like, yeah, Glenn, Steve, Sharon, Stevie, like, the whole, and he lists, like, all of the crew, right, on this barge, knows everything about them, right? They all know him forever now. Oh, T-Dub, hey, Trey, what's going on? Right? And it's because the first time that he went over, he's somehow got caught, on his way to, you know, getting out of his car and walking around or whatever, and he saw one of the guards or one of the crew and was like, oh, what's the, he knew something vaguely about the motor or the thing or whatever. And he's like, oh, what's this? Is that the crank for whatever the thing is? And then they're like, no, it's over there. And he's like, oh, you know what? Come and let me see. Like, he's just got that personality. You just want to tell him stuff.
You're a media. And then, like, you got to start talking to this dude.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, come for a walk. Like, and they take him up to the captain's thing, and he's, like, looking at all the stuff. And then on the way back, they're like, hey, Trent, hey, come up.
Sure, come on.
You know, and they came up, and the captain's like, hey, do you want to steer? He's like, yeah. It's just, that's his life, man. Like, he just.
That's pretty badass, dude.
He just knows everybody. It's, like, blows my mind.
Networking can open networking can open more doors than almost anything can.
Yeah. He gets free golf at the golf local golf course where he's from because he got a contract shooting ducks on the golf course. There's a specific type of duck that's like not natural to the habitat, and then they screw up all the greens or the grains or whatever. Yeah. So it's only one specific type of duck. There's lots of other ones there, and nobody else seems to be able to do it, but Trent can do it. I don't know if he's elaborating on this, but I know he is really good at what he does. But yeah, they give him a camo golf cart. He shows up at 5 o'clock. I don't know. He just this guy. Oh, yeah.
Sounds like if you had a movie about him, it'd probably go over great in the States.
For sure.
Probably, yeah. He'd probably make some friends.
You love anything with an accent. It's wild.
Yeah.
But we hate everyone. It's also wild.
What a weird thing. He's a big dude, too. He's a gentle giant. Something about those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to not tell him stuff because, like, what if he eats me? Like,
yeah.
like, he wants to know about this motor, so I'm probably going to tell him because his little brother Bigfoot is going to get me.
That is just, like, if I was that big, I would just carry around, like, a camp stove. just like, if somebody was shitting me off, you just, like, light it up. Like, oh, fuck, like, whatever, like... Turns out he's vegan. Just light a match.
I love it.
What are you cutting onions for?
You tell a story, man.
You could do a lot of cool shit, dude. You should have just had him get like a backpack that you could ride in. You know what I mean? Like those ones like kids wear.
I'd be a baby like, Bjorn on someone's back.
Get like an adult one, like Hodor.
Just jiggle
around and watch. I don't know what the fuck that'd be like.
Sit back there and drink beers. Stare at the road going away from me. Be nice.
Watch your six, man. No one's coming up behind us, I promise.
I could pee out the back whenever I want. Nobody would step in it.
As long as you get the arc over his heels.
You know how pissed he would be if that wasn't in the plan? If you were just back there and you opened the flap and started taking a piss without telling him and he just heard it?
Because he'd have to turn around because he would assume something else is leaking.
It's better to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
And then
especially with piss.
The upside is to it that he'd be so uneager to see your dick that he'd wait till you were done for sure.
Well, that's probably why he probably expected it. That's why I'd be facing backwards.
God. That's what I'm saying.
Like, he's definitely going to piss while he's back there because I'm not going to let him down and unhook him from the straps.
And then if he's walking with anyone next to him, he's going to freak out thinking his camelback is leaking and spin immediately, and his counterparts are going to get pissed off. Like that's the first thing I saw was what the fuck, and everyone's just, oh god, stop.
I've filled up the camel pack. Oh my god,
we're gonna need a break here from this carrying me around thing. Fucking hilarious, dude. I think Kyle.
Oh no. Of all the people who've tried to do it, y'all have killed me here today. Oh, my God. Sorry. Well, sure,
boy. Is there anything else we didn't address or talk about?
Yeah. Any survivor stories about, you definitely wanted to get into? Or anything you want to plug?
I got some cool shit coming out this year. Some of it I can't talk about. Most of it I can't talk about for at least another couple of weeks. Maybe that's probably a good thing that we did.
I'm familiar.
Get tread on.
Seeing
you're familiar.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very excited, man.
I'm pumped.
Yep.
I was
beaming for you, dog.
Thanks, man.
Joe started telling me about all that.
I'm feeling good. It's a good year.
Yeah.
All I'm going to do is just be not one of the musicians that dip out. I'm going to be, you know what? I'm okay. Like I'm 37 now. Like I've got those. I'm young enough that I still want to run around and go crazy like my 20 and 30 year old friends and stuff. But I'm also old enough that I'm like that I have bedtime.
Yeah.
You know. And if we go somewhere, I'm like I'm going to drive myself, so I can leave whenever I want. You know. And like, but it's also, I feel like music and kind of what I do can be like now more than ever. It's not a 20-year-old's game. Like if I sign, I sign. If I don't, I'm still indie. I got a bunch of fans who love me and I love them. I'm going to keep putting music out. I'm going to keep playing songs and stages and just hope that the stages get better and better and better.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the plan. So
it's that old typical shit we say where it's not about the destination, it's the journey. And everything in between all that you're doing, no matter where you end up, is fucking beautiful on one level, man.
I thought you were going to say, oh my God.
Say it.
I can't remember if we had this joke. If you and I had this joke, but I thought you were going to say, you know, it's like they always say, it's not about the destination, it's about how big your cock is. I thought you were just going to just bring it.
Ty's only laughing because at the end of the day, the only reason he's in such
shut
a good mood is because
he's got
a
big dick
and it fucking works.
Oh my God.
We almost got through it, man. We were almost through it.
I did ask him one episode. I was like, dude, I mean, honestly, what do you think your demeanor and your positivity level would have been if your dick would have got taken?
Bro, kill me twice. like
fuck I would all be my limbs. I need my dick.
Yo, yeah, just finish me off, man.
You could have got some robot shit or something. I know, obviously that wouldn't have felt good, but yeah. I need to feel it.
I was just listening to Matt McCusker's stand-up earlier before I got on here, and he said something about he thinks that coming is all the things that you should have done instead of having kids or a wife coming out at one time. it's all the happiest, funnest shit in the world, going to strip clubs, doing – obviously, it's silly, but I just thought it was fucking funny.
That's funny.
Is that why you just want to go to sleep after?
Yeah, you're so tired from all the activities.
He's like, you know what? I can't think of anything else. I want to, like, all of the happiness is gone right now. I need to build it back up again.
Yeah. So, gotta have some dreams because this real life isn't going to work.
That's how I think about, like, if I'm drinking, there's a point, like, I don't deal with the next day, like, with hangovers well at all. Like, I'm the worst. So I know, like, once I get to a certain point, like, from here on out, I'm borrowing happiness from tomorrow. Like, if I keep drinking, like, how much am I willing to, like, borrow from tomorrow?
Yeah.
Based on how much am I going to keep drinking from here on out?
Yeah.
I like that. That's a great concept. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It's tough, but it's something that's very real. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You end up borrowing more and more the older you get, I think, probably.
I never really exactly got hangovers. I do sort of sometimes, but for the most part, I don't.
Fuck you, man.
Yeah, he brags about that shit
absolutely.
A lot.
Absolutely.
It
sort of sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wish it sort of just, I wish I was just like, when I drink, I was like,
we feel so bad for you. Oh, I wish must I could be horrible, hangovers. Dude.
Wow. I wish my head was killing me and I wanted to die in the morning.
Great responsibility.
I hate waking up and just feeling grand after a night of heavy drinking.
Yeah, I'm not saying I feel grand, but I don't suffer like everybody else does. But I also drink a lot of water.
That's part of
it. Yeah, but then there's process. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll be hydrated, but then I'm going to get up every 45 seconds. Like,
after
I fall asleep.
We can't all.
I haven't figured out the.
We can't all piss from two rooms away like Ty.
Yeah. Or on somebody's back. I mean, facing me. I mean, on somebody's backpack. Damn it. Piss on somebody's back.
What if you piss on his back while you're still in the sea? I mean, you'd obviously piss on yourself. Here's a funny story about my dad. My dad.
Oh.
Speaking of pissing on people's backs, my dad was flying from somewhere. He didn't fly a lot. He wasn't a big flyer.
What a big fire, go. I'll mute my mic. Go ahead.
No, don't. That's gay. It's way better for the fans. They can hear you fucking lose your mind.
Please go.
He wasn't a flyer. Speaking of pissing on somebody's back. Flyer.
He's on a flight. He never had this problem before. They were descending. He sits up bolt upright and fucking yaks right there in the fucking plane and somehow puked down his own back. I'm trying. I've been trying for years, dude. I have diagrams. I have pie charts. I have fucking those red lines you use for murders and shit. The string. I've tried to figure out how he puked down his back.
I think you said shit wrong.
Yeah, that would make more sense, right?
Yeah.
No, apparently he puked. All I remember is him saying he puked on his own back and because, he somehow puked inside of his own ring. I'm like, dude, I want to vomit.
All I know is there's...
The setup was better than the punchline.
There's a hole in the front of the body and there's a hole in the back of the body. And if stuff's on the back, generally has to come from... that hole.
You would think, but it's usually a significantly different texture and color. So I would think you would.
Well, maybe he was on a plane, so maybe it was like turbulent stuff. I don't know. He's just like shaking.
This went south so fast.
I don't know. Maybe things are inverse in the air when you're landing.
Maybe it's the speed that he was going at, and somehow the puke just kind of hung up there, like in mini outer space, for just a split second.
That's impressive. I bet he couldn't do that again if he tried.
No, he did.
Not many people
definitely have a way harder time now. he's definitely in a way. I've done that earlier in his life.
Wow.
Oh my god, I hate you so much. My throat hurts. Stop. Fuck.
Holy shit.
Deep breath. Dead puppies. Dead puppies. Dead puppies.
What a claim to fame.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude. He opened for Oh no, dude, this is another great claim to fame. I think I told you this. He opened for Bob Seger. 30 years later, he was watching a Bob Seger documentary, and they were going asking him, interviewing him, and like, you know, what was your favorite this? What was your favorite that? What was your least favorite show? And he literally named the show that my dad played on.
Oh no! What did he say was the least favorite thing? Did he elaborate on?
I know why it was before he even told me. They played at a place which sounds in your head when you hear this, you're going to be like, "That sounds dope," but you as a sound guy know why it's not. They played at a place called The Cave, and it was literally in a cave.
Yeah,
so I think it was just the sound was wretched like that. Ugh. But in theory, that sounds badass, dude. Like, I want to see fucking rad bands in a cave.
Well, I mean, it would be what, like Matrix, when Morpheus drops the house.
Sure.
You've never seen the Matrix? Oh,
I've seen the Matrix many times. It's just been a long time.
The house?
Well, no. So whenever he talks to everyone in Zion and does the pompous dude talks, and everyone's just kind of like, all right, yeah. And then Morpheus gets up there and gets everyone riled the fuck up before like the rave, before the battle to end everything.
Oh, yeah, in the cave. That'd have to be... I mean, I feel like playing a gig in a cave with somebody who knows nothing about music's idea.
Yeah,
exactly. And then they're like, wouldn't it be cool to do this? And then they did it and were like, that went great. And everybody else was like, ah.
My ears disagree, sir.
You'd have to coat the walls in some shit that would make it not look like a cave in order for it to work.
Well, it'd just be a volume thing.
Yeah,
I was gonna say.
I think it would just have to be like everybody shut up. We're gonna be just acoustic. Like it would work cool if you filmed it and it was like all acoustic.
Yeah,
or something. That you'd get like natural reverberation or something. Like you couldn't put like a concert system or anything in there. Like
that would be where the bigger the band, the bigger the problem. It's like
nature's amphitheater kind of deal. Like you know, it's already like echoing and whatever. Like
yeah.
That could be pretty cool. It's like how they used to do it, like back in the day, you know? I mean, you'd have a candle with a mirror on the front of the stage, whatever, like back in the 1400s or
way back in the when.
Whatever. And then how did they, like, they just projected it by, like, didn't have electricity and all that sort of stuff. They just projected it by having, like, reflections. And that's why churches and stuff were, like,
yeah,
so, like, reverberant, you know?
Big ass organs and shit.
Reverberant.
Yeah.
I like that
word. I didn't even know if that's a word. I just made that shit up.
It's officially a word. I don't give a fuck if it ain't called.
Reverberant. That's right.
You ever listen to a guy named William Fitzsimmons? Singer-songwriter?
No.
He's really good.
What a name.
Yeah, really good. Really, really good artist. Real kind of like breathy, quiet, super quiet music. Almost like Iron and Wine or something similar to that. Cool. He's really, really good, though. But he had a fucking unreal story, dude. He grew up with two blind parents, and his dad built an organ in the wall of their house with his bare hands, being blind. So sound and music and things around his house were really important because they were blind. So it's kind of the reason he took off into music. They were just a musical family for that reason. Really fast.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Did he mean to build it in the wall, or was that an accident?
he missed
like it's supposed to be in the middle of the living room or something. And he's like, oh shit. It's in the dad. You put it in the wall.
That's a good question, man. That's a really good question.
That's
still cool, though.
Damn. Yeah, shit, man. I can't build shit with both my eyes. It's crazy.
Shit, man. Fuck.
That's incredible. I love how people can really get drawn to music and stuff when, you know, when some senses get taken away, like others are just extremely
heightened. Ray Charles but then, and Stevie Wonder. Shit.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
wasn't there a composer, like a famous composer that was deaf? Mozart?
Beethoven? Question mark?
Yeah, one of them was deaf or near deaf or something.
But yeah, so your homework is Anthony Jeselnik, who is this guy you just said, someone Fitzpatrick, and Bill
Fitzy.
There you go, and Ren.
William Fitzsimmons. But above all those things, you should look Ren up. I think you would like him. He's been through a bunch of crazy, crazy shit. I've told that story, but.
He's got a level of uniqueness like you do. It's a different one, obviously, but like it's something that sets him apart from everyone else is fucking there.
And just as a you like the tech side and the production side of things, when they do any of the music videos they have are all done in one take. He uses a lapel mic and he goes in and edits the fuck out of the vocals to make them sound reasonable. But they don't do it in one time. They do it in one take. So he did the song's 9 minutes long. Took him 27 times to get it perfect, and they took just the one take of it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And they do that with all their videos.
27 is a beautiful number, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, check it out, dude. Like especially High Ren is like it's wild. Like to know that he did it live and he did it in one take. Obviously 27 times, but in one take when you watch the way that he plays the song and sings, it's fucking wild.
And very the acting, that's the thing. I still can't get over that because it's you know which one's singing even if you weren't watching the video. You know if it's him or if it's the demon side. And like in his mannerisms are even different when he's being the dark side.
Dude, you can totally like, just watch it as the last
there's
thing
legitimate,
do.
There's legitimate acting involved.
You want to just watch it?
I'm down.
Fuck it.
I'm going to have to hit the end.
For those of you that have already seen the Ren video, you can turn it off or whatever, or skip it.
Thanks for hanging.
Yeah. So I think what I've figured out here is that loading things in from the... Okay, I get what I have to do. Yeah, I just have to reload it every fucking time, which kind of blows, but 137, 54... I think that one will work. All right. Give it a second to upload.
Yeah, my whole chest and ribs hurt.
What I've done to make it work is I've had to upload the file while we're in the fucking video in order to make it play. Otherwise, if it's in the archive where it's supposed to play from, it won't play.
You're over there doing work while we're working?
Yep, a little bit. Nothing crazy.
It's all right. I send a text message or four every podcast anyway, so...
I know sometimes to me, and I don't get them until after the show's over, which is a little wild.
You just so described that little boy to me. That was the funny. God, that was the first time I thought I broke my rib laughing.
What little boy?
the little black dude who was holding the roll that I sent you the picture. He had that fun uncle energy, and he was like three, and pants up to here with a button up tucked in, and he had like a dinner roll, and he's just he was the chillest and coolest little dude ever. I forgot what even brought him up, but he was describing something that, and I was like, oh my god, this, and I found it and sent it to him.
I don't remember what it was, but it was funny. All right, we got the video. Oh,
hit it.
This video doesn't belong to us, so I don't know if they're going to pull us. If they do, I'll just remove the video and we'll skip it. But for now, let's fucking watch it.
Do not own the rights to this shit.
But this is just a reaction video, right?
I think I have... I think I might have seen this.
Hi, man.
I'm the shepherd, not your place to lead me. Not your place to be batting off the hand that feeds me.
Hi, Ren. I've been taking some time to be distant. I've been taking some time to be still. I've been taking some time to be by myself since my therapist told me I'm ill. And I've been making some progress lately. And I've learned some new coping skills. So I haven't really needed you much, man. I think we need to just step back and chill.
Ren, you sound more insane than I do. You think that those doctors are really there to guide you? Been through this a million times. Your civilian mind is so perfect, I'm always being lied to. Okay, take another pill, boy. Drown yourself in the sound of white noise. Follow this 10-step program, rejoice. All your problems will be gone. Fucking dumb boy.
Nah, mate. This time is different, man. Trust me. I feel like things might be falling in place. And my music's been kinda doing bits too. Like I actually might do something great. And when I'm gone, maybe I'll be remembered for doing something special with myself. That's why I don't think that we should talk, man. Cause when you're with me, it never seems to help.
You think that you can amputate me? I am you, you are me, you are I am we are one. Split in two, that makes one, so you see. You gotta kill you if you wanna kill me. I'm not leftover dinner, I'm not scraps on the side. Oh, your music is thriving, delusional guy. Where's your top 10 hit? Where's your interview with Oprah? Where are your Grammys, Ren? Nowhere.
Yeah, but my music's not commercial like that. I never chase numbers, statistics or stats. I never write hooks for the radio, they never even play me, so why would I concern myself with that? But my music is really connecting, and the people who find it respect it. And for me that's enough, cause this life's been tough, so it gives me a purpose I can rest in.
Man, you sound so pretentious, Ren. Your music is so self-centered. No one wants to hear another song about how much you hate yourself. Trust me. You should be so lucky, having me inside you to guide you, remind you, to manage expectations, provide you perspective. That thing you neglected, I get it. You wanna be a big deal, next Jimi Hendrix, forget it.
Man, it's not like that.
Man, it's just like that. I'm inside you, you twat.
No, it's not, man, you're wrong. When I write, I belong.
Let me break the fourth wall by acknowledging this song.
Ren sits down, has a stroke of genius. He wants to write a song that was not done previous. A battle with his subconscious, Eminem did it.
Played on guitar,
Plan B did it.
Man, you're not original, you criminal rip off artist. The pinnacle of your success is stealing other people's material.
Ren, mate, we've heard it all before.
She sells seashells on the seashore.
Fuck you, I don't need you, I don't need to hear this. Cause I'm fine by myself, I'm a genius. And I will be great, and I will make waves, and I'll shake up the whole world beneath us.
That's right, speak your truth, your fucking god complex leaks out of you. It's refreshing to actually hear you say it instead of downplay it.
Music is all about the creative process, and if people can find something to relate to within that, then that's just a bonus.
Fuck you, I'ma fucking kill you, Ren.
Well, fucking kill me then, let's fucking have you, Ren.
I'ma do it, watch me prove it. Who are you to doubt my music? Cause I call the shots, I choose if you die. Yeah, I call the shots, and so I choose who survives. I'll tie you up in knots when I lock you inside.
Newsflash. I was created at the dawn of creation. I am temptation. I am the snake in Eden. I am the reason for treason, beheading all kings. I am sin, with no rhyme or reason. Son of the morning, Lucifer, Antichrist, father of lies. Mephistopheles, truth in a blender, deceitful pretender, the banished avenger, the righteous surrender. When standing in front of my solar eclipse, my name is stitched to your lips. So you see, I won't bow to the will of a mortal, feeble and normal. You wanna kill me? I'm eternal and mortal. I live in every decision that catalyzes chaos, that causes division. I live inside death, the beginning of and I am you, you are me, I am you, Ren.
Hi, Ren. I've been taking some time to be distant. I've been taking some time to be still. I've been taking some time to be by myself, and I've spent half my life ill. But just as sure as the tide starts turning, just as sure as the night has dawned, just as sure as the rainfall soon runs dry when you stand in an eye of a storm. I was made to be tested and twisted. I was made to be broken and beat. I was made by his hand, it's all part of his plan that I stand on my own two feet. And you know me, my will is eternal. And you know me, you've met me before. Face to face with a beast, I will rise from the east and I'll settle on the ocean floor. And I go by many names also. Some people know me as Hope. Some people know me as the voice that you hear when you loosen the noose on the rope. And you know how I know that I'll prosper? Cause I stand here beside you today. I have stood in the flames that cremated my brain, and I didn't once flinch or shake. So coward the man I've become, when I sing from the top of my lungs, that I won't retire, I'll stand in your fire, inspire that me to be strong. And when I am gone, I will rise in the music that I left behind. Ferocious, persistent, immortal like you, Iroquoian to different side. When I was 17 years old, I shouted out into an empty room, into a blank canvas, that I would defeat the forces of evil. And for the next 10 years of my life, I suffered the consequences, with autoimmunity, illness, and psychosis. As I got older, I realized there were no real winners and there were no real losers in psychological warfare. But there were victims and there were students. It wasn't David versus Goliath. It was a pendulum, eternally swaying from the dark to the light. And the more intensely that the light shone, the darker the shadow it cast. It was never really a battle for me to win. It was an eternal dance. And like a dance, the more rigid I became, the harder it got. The more I cursed my clumsy footsteps, the more I struggled. So I got older, and I learned to relax, and I learned to soften, and that dance got easier. It is this eternal dance that separates human beings from angels, from demons, from gods. And I must not forget, we must not forget, that we are human beings.
Holy shit.
I know, right? I know where he fucked up. I know where he fucked up at least 10 times.
Yeah,
you could previously. Tell. There was one, I don't know why that's the first thing that I thought of. I just remember you said 27 times. There's one chord that he wasn't looking and he went up there, and that like it's an off chord.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter. That was ridiculous.
Yes. Crushed. Yeah. That was so ridiculous.
So fucking meaningful, so thoughtful, so authentic.
You can't reproduce that with AI.
I don't think so. I don't think that's possible.
Full circle. Don't get me wrong. Some things you could. The fact that his guitar was that perfect amount of light and shade went with his voice, went with his emotion, what he was talking about. Little out of tune, but his playing mm-hmm. was so dynamic.
Okay.
You know, like his attitude, his like conviction, like you can really tell that he's actually been through that too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like you can't make that up. You can't fake that, you know, like either he's one of the best actor I've ever seen in my life, or he's really been through some shit.
Yeah.
No, he's been
incredible.
He basically had a 8-year period where he progressively got worse physically, and then mentally he started to suffer from psychosis and started just going crazy. Kept going to doctors, and they basically told him to pull himself up by the bootstraps. When he scraped together enough money and went to a specialist, and the guy walks in and goes, "You got Lyme disease," before he even checked him out. Found out he had Lyme disease, and it was very advanced. So he moved to Canada to be close to a facility where they treat that or whatever. So he's been through the gamut of things with health and mental health.
Damn.
Super humble guy. I've seen him on podcasts. He cries every time he talks about it. Like, you can tell it's real. Isn't there for fame or money. They were talking about, well, now you're making more money for the videos. And he's like, dude, he said, money to me is just clay. I just use it to shape what I'm doing that much better if I have more. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's fucking dope, dude.
Yeah.
Cool guy. But some of his other music's really, really good. He's worth like going down the rabbit hole on.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah,
After seeing that, I have seen snippets of it. I don't know if I certainly haven't watched it like that. Yeah, yeah. I haven't. Yeah, that was the first real time that I've probably watched that. That was incredible. That's something I heard too that I can really relate to is wealth. Like people associate money as the only form of wealth, but wealth is emotion and support and family
experience
and everything. And it's like exactly in what you can teach and what you can learn and how you can grow. And like, you know, and the way that I see it being a father and a husband and somebody who, you know, of like my life's better because of wealth that's been around me. Like, most of the time it's not financial, you know, most of the time it's everything, but you know, that's one of the reasons that I'm still fucking here is there's people around me, you know, people around me, there's plenty of wealth and there's love and all of those things are extreme currencies that people discount too quickly, you know?
Dude, and I think,
I
was just going to say, going back on what you were saying earlier, where you're talking about how social media, the era of people being born to social media isn't exactly worse. It's just got its ups and downs like everything else. But I think that's one of the really big downsides is I feel like people are so concerned with how they look because they see a slight window into the best parts of everyone else's life on social media. So therefore, I feel like so many people they think they need the newest iPhone, the newest car, the newest this, the newest that in order to be valuable. When in reality, what you're saying, I agree, like so many other forms of currency that you are valuable that are in my opinion, worth more than financial wealth.
Yeah. You know what's funny talking about social media though, about, you know, how 99% of the things that you see on there are like the perfect picture. Like you don't realize that that you took 27 photos or 58 billion or whatever, you know, to get the perfect shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Show me the outtakes.
Like the before and after was totally different. Yeah, exactly. So, but the thing that's actually worked the best for me, and this might just be my experience, but like anytime that I've had like a bit of a like, you know, it's usually typed or a quick little video just going, oh, man, just having a rough day today, you know, got a bunch of no's said to me. And, you know, for this reason or that, or for no reason or whatever it was. And like, and then coming back and just saying like, I'm fine. Like, don't think that I'm quitting or anything like that. Just having a rough day, just putting it out there saying, if you're having a rough day, like, let's have a shitty day together. It's going to be fine. Tomorrow's going to be fine. But, you know, I just had to verbalize it, and that's it. Every time I've ever done that, the amount of comments and likes of the fact that it was a not perfect post. Yeah. It was like, me too, man. My, you know, I lost my dog, my tractor, and my wife, whatever. You know, it's like, it's a good old country. you know, like, other people having a bad time too. Yeah.
I was going to say, Bachman said when he first started playing with me, even before we started playing together, he would see some of my posts about mental health shit, and he would kind of cringe, like, why is he putting it out there? But he's grown to feel quite differently about that over time. Not that he really partakes in it too much, but I feel like every time I've felt at my lowest, when I really feel the most alone, to put something out about me being there for someone else makes me feel better immediately a little bit. And oftentimes people reach out to me and they start talking about what they're going through. And I'm like, that again makes me feel connected and makes me feel slightly better and brings me out of the darkness a little bit. So for me, being in a position of being known from doing something like we do, I enjoy whenever I can share the darkest parts of my personality and get those reflections back of, yeah, fuck, dude, I know what it feels like. I feel that way. I'm glad somebody's saying it, that type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Or the person who doesn't do it for a living. The one time I saw Joe Bao lose it was when he told me that when someone came up to him about a soldier's memoir, was the statement was, I've never been able to put it into words, and you did it. Like, that's literally what I've been trying to say for the past 10 years. And Joe about his knees about gave out. And that would be the feedback that would mean the world to me as
his
well.
His knees aren't that good, dog.
Well, I mean, he built like Dr. Robotnik.
He jumped off. We were playing on the boat, and I guess he was feeling himself or whatever. We're on the Magnum stage, and it's not a tall stage, maybe a foot and a half or something. Dude tried to jump into the crowd, and his knees just gave out, and he ends up on his hands and knees in the doggy style position. And I said something about him falling. He goes, I didn't fall. I'm like, bitch, that's what that is. You were standing, you were erect, and then you were in the doggy style position. That's called falling.
Yeah, don't make me get out the dictionary and like.
I was just giving the ground a high five, man. The ground's been doing a good job. So.
With my knees and my feet and my hands. Yeah.
He fell another time. We both fell when we were playing on a ferry. And it was just the water was kind of rough, and we were both, I was buzzed. He goes, you know, the part in the Taylor Swift song that says, fuck, you know, our first song.
Oh, does she swear?
No. Probably does in real life.
You know that bit in the Taylor Swift song that says, fuck. What is that? Don't they all start with that?
No, but he, anyway, it was a part that says something about take my hand, I want to marry you or some shit. I don't know. And he goes, and this hot girl standing in front of the stage the whole night, he climbs over the monitors and he gets down on one knee and grabs her hand and does a fucking face plant.
Oh my God.
I'm like, damn it, Joe. I feel
bad. So she has to marry him.
Yeah, now she
has to marry him for the joke to make sense.
For real, dude.
Yeah. There's
literally two rocket ass girls that he's standing by when he did a face plant. I'm like, oof, that sucks, dog. I know I'm a 47. I don't fucking try to do anything too crazy.
You okay?
You good?
He's circling again.
Oh. Yeah, that's Ty's, hey, the podcast needs to end because I don't want to clean up shit voice.
I'm sorry.
All right.
That was been a good pod. Seriously, man. I have no intention of like, I don't care how people feel about it. I enjoy the people that I enjoy. I'd like to have you on frequently, dog. Like every couple of months or something. It'd be great.
I'm down.
Yeah, so we'll have you back on. We'll dig into something we forgot to today.
This has been fun, man. This has been a really good hang and shooting the shit, and I've laughed, and I love you guys.
This is really too, man.
Yeah, I have to get my brother on. We'll have to do a cross country international podcast.
I'm fucking dead serious, dude. As soon as you tell me a day and make sure me and Ty are available, I'm like Flynn. I think it would fucking murder.
Let's go.
We'll talk all the logistics back in the backdrop or whatever. Yep. But anything else you need to plug?
No, check out my stuff.
Dude, I'm the only Carl. Carl Walkner.
Yeah, I put MF in the middle, like Carl motherfucking. I don't know why I did that. Like it's my name good. Is not like that. It. It's just Carl Walkner. So yeah.
He's sophisticated. His name is Carl MF Walkner.
That's right.
What that means.
Martin Frank.
I think it stands for doctor or something.
Manafred.
Hey. Yeah. No, sorry. He's literally about him.
Please share. Ty, you can tap. Please share. Please.
Ty's dog's taking a shit, relieving himself. Ty's got to go shit bigger than the dog shit next to it to show it who's dominant.
And send us a picture next to a quarter. So, for reference.
Yeah.
Anyway, share it if you like it, please. We're trying to expand out all the time. We're really trying to like jump out of our circle of people here in the next little while and go a little bigger and get some guests that hopefully some of you are wanting to watch. But you can send us money if you want to donate for our advertising and things of that nature, equipment. It's a Cash App, Polk Podcast, PolkPodcast. Polk Podcast. So thank you guys so much. If you're watching still, then you're still fucking here. So badass, dude.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me, brother.
All right.